B-Pod Studios.
Belger.
I'm a liar and a phony. One of those no good nicks you keep running away from.
Maz.
I'm a man, Mel. Nobody's perfect.
Belger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, it's hour number two. Felger and Maserati here again from our Tom Kirk Tire Studios in Dorchester. Broadcast on 98.5 on the FM dial. It's terrestrial radio throughout the Boston demographic area. We beam across New England and the country on TV. The simulcast is NBC Sports Boston. Let's start to get to some Celtics items. This new today. Adrian Wojnarowski reports All-Star center Al Horford will decline to exercise his $30.1 million option for the 2019-20 season with the Celtics and become an unrestricted free agent, league sources tell ESPN. While Horford, a five-time All-Star, will move into the free agent marketplace on June 30th, there's motivation for both Horford and the Celtics to work toward an agreement on a new long-term contract, league sources tell ESPN. Horford could help Boston's salary cap flexibility with a new deal that starts below that $30 million salary. Two questions. If you're the Celtics, do you want him back?
No.
No.
Discuss.
I mean, so I just don't want to commit the money to him because I don't think they're winning a championship in the next couple of years.
If he says, I'll come in at 20, three times 20.
No, too high. Too high. No. So listen, you know.
But considering today's NBA, that's pretty cost effective. I'm with you. And I think that
that's a big discount. I just picked that number to make it hard on you.
Yeah. And I still wouldn't do it. I think they're better off, with the flexibility.
Is it more realistic to be three times 25? I mean, is he going to leave $10 million on the table like that?
I don't know. Good question. Yeah. I thought I read something earlier in the offseason about speculation that he could sign for like 18 or something.
Oh, really?
So I don't know. I might be wrong. I might be making that up for all I know. Who the hell knows what's going on between those ears?
Big cut.
Yeah, it is.
To go from 30 to 18?
It is. I don't know that he's a max player anymore. I think he's deteriorating a little bit. And, and I love the guy. But I would rather them free up the money for something bigger down the road.
Yeah, you should use the money towards this rebuild, which is now going to be taking place over the next few years. I also think that they should kind of do him a solid and let him go because he's a 3 or a 4 on a legitimate contender. So let him go to Golden State or somewhere where he can win a title.
That's not their call. He opted out. He can go wherever he wants.
Correct.
They
shouldn't try to pressure him into some kind of hometown discount, I guess is what I'm saying.
Oh, well, he can still say go screw. I mean, that's all up to him. I think that Murray is not. This isn't the Patriots holding Nick Caserio here hostage for a year. Al Horford has full rights to leave. So, that piece to it I'm not worried about.
The market for him could be good, too.
I'm just here. There's two things. One is, on the face of it, in a vacuum, I think it's better for the Celtics if he goes. Hit the reset button. Get max flexibility. If he leaves and you can shed one more contract, you have room for a max guy this year.
Pretty close.
If you renounce Kyrie Irving right now...
I did a little research on this morning. It's pretty close.
Well, Jimmy Stewart's been telling us this for weeks, but I'm glad you backed it up with your people. And now Barnes is back, so it has to be one more guy. Maybe it's Marcus Moore. If you shed one more contract with Horford and Kyrie Irving gone...
Baines, you mean, Beck?
I meant Baines. Okay. You have a max slot?
Pretty close, yeah. Again, I think it's going to be give or take $30 million. And 35 is a vet, right? I mean, you're talking about Kevin Durant or someone like that at 35. You could get someone lesser than that at 25-ish, depending on his years of service. I mean, it gets complicated, as you know. So I'd rather have that. I'd rather have the flexibility. I would rather do that.
And even if you don't use it.
Correct. Hold on to it.
Even if you don't use it, keep it. Keep it and reload next year and reset the whole damn thing.
There's only one legitimate reason to wanting him back, though.
Okay, I have one too. Maybe it's the same. Go ahead.
It's to make sure that the young kids have their heads on straight. After what happened this year, guys like Brown and Tatum, you want to make sure they get back to where they were pre-Kyrie bitchiness this whole season. I think you need Al and his quiet professionalism and his leadership around.
Okay, I agree. So there's two reasons for me. I mean, that one, I agree. Definitely. I think the perception would be a whopper if he bails.
You
as a destination and you as a building program, you've done so much here in the last couple of years to be that and be considered that, where Al Horford comes here, Gordon Hayward comes here, Kyrie Irving wants to come here. You've got young players, vets who want to be here. Like, you've, we said this all last year. You're a destination. You're a freaking destination. And if they had fulfilled their on-court promise and Kyrie kept his promise to stay, maybe there is Anthony Davis here. Maybe now you are getting guys who want to come here on those mid-level exceptions and all that stuff, and you become that team. You're that team. Boy, has that turned on its ear in just 9 months, too. Kyrie Irving bails. Anthony Davis screams to the world, I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there. You can trade for me, but then I'm gone. Don't trade for me. And he screams that to the world. And now Al Horford leaves? Sort of a bad look.
Sure.
Now it's sort of like, oh, what's going on there? And you have to, I don't know, all that equity that you built sort of, I don't know, I think you lose something there. And
so
and there's an intangible loss there if Al Horford leaves.
Yeah, huge. I just wonder if the damage hasn't already been done, though.
It has. It has, to some extent.
So I look at it and say, you know, just take the beating and hope that in a year or two or whenever that it is a more attractive place again and there's someone who's actually willing to come. I don't know that there's a way around that one. Like, I just think financially, we all love Horford. We love what he represents. We love the game he plays, all of that. But realistically, they're not going to win it if he stays. So you know what? If he leaves, they're better off. He's probably better off. You know, you're going to be worse in 2019 and 20. You know, you'll make the playoffs, but you probably won't get very far. And then you'll see where you are after that.
But you'll have flexibility.
Correct. I'd rather have the financial flexibility. I would. If I were them, I'd be happy if he ends up someplace good for him. You can sort of look at that one and say, you know what? We like Al. He deserves to be in a good place and have a chance to win. It's good for him. It's good for us.
You know, and that whole piece, though, about the veteran leadership, does he really do that? I mean, I think he does.
He's not a jersey grabber and, you know, I don't think he's an intimidating presence like Kendrick Perkins, but I do think he keeps the room as right as he possibly can.
Does he? I think he's a tremendous pro and a dude and a man, and, like, I think he's all that. I really like him as a person and a pro, and I think he's a little bit of an outlier in that league. He's just an understated, do your job professional. I mean, I really like him. Yeah, so I like him.
I think it's lead by example.
Do Tatum and Brown and guys like that, do jackasses like that, and I say that, you know, sort of an air quote, but young bucks like that, do they value what he brings to the table?
I don't think he's the kind of guy that keeps them in line by kicking their ass. And maybe sometimes those guys need that.
Or he's not doing that. Even by them saying, that's the guy I want to be. That's not who they want to be.
They want to be bigger than that.
They want to be the guy with the shoe contract and the movie deal.
Oh, well, then they're screwed anyway, and he should just run to Golden State.
But, I mean, I don't know. I think all the qualities that I respect in Al Horford, I don't know if they translate to the young guys on the roster. Otherwise, would it have been as big of a dumpster fire this year as it was?
No.
Why wouldn't Kyrie Irving look up to someone like that?
Because he's a pud.
He's an a-hole, but I'm afraid the league is sort of populated with young a-holes.
Well, so then G. Willikers needs to step up and say, hey, guys, who do you want to be? You know, you see how it worked out with Kyrie? You should be like Al. He leads, well, follow his example.
I just don't think, I think he's a great lead by example guy. I just don't know if the guys are there they want to follow. I don't think they value the things he brings to the table, which is an indictment on them, not Al.
Right. See, I don't think it's a great, it's better for everybody if he leaves.
Al's got one problem. He takes a little too long for the paternity leave. Other than that, I'm all for him. That dude is tremendous. I honestly mean that. I have a lot of respect for a guy like that. I just, unfortunately, I don't think the young players do. So do they really? So that thing that you say that I agree with on paper, Murray, that he's there to keep the young guys in line and keep their heads on straight, can he really do that?
No, see, he's not flashy enough for them. That's the problem. Horford actually shows up, does his job, plays basketball, commits to the team, does all those things. He's not interested in making movies and all the other stuff.
Okay, and now for him, why would he want to stay? To babysit?
Yeah, if I were him, I'd leave.
All right, if you want a title before you wrap it up, and you probably have two more years where you can still play at a decent and high level.
You know where he'd be great?
The Warriors.
The Lakers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
No, he'd be good on that team. Or maybe the other team in L.A., wink, wink.
I mean, boy, would he be a great complimentary piece to a team that's right there. And I'm not even telling you whether there's a perfect on-floor fit. I just think he just does so many little things well and is such a great, intangible guy.
Hell, he'd be good at Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah, I'd take him heartbeat. Heartbeat. Oh, I'd love him. Oh, I'd love him next to Giannis. And I'd rather him shooting the three than half of those Herman Munster stiffs that they got launching out there right now. Al hits out there. So, yeah, oh, boy, would he make sense with the Warriors, with the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks? Name a contender. He'd be perfect on those kind of teams.
I mean, if I were him, I would. I'd go out west. I mean, I'd consider like a million places. Hell, if Kawhi Leonard ends up with the Clippers, you play Doc Rivers and Al Horford and Kawhi Leonard. I mean, that's a pretty good team, too. Like, it, to me, the number one spot for him would be Golden State. Oh, that's perfect for him. Perfect. And given all the stuff they've had going on to bring in a guy like that,
he can do all of what they want and, you know, give you a little rim protection, give you a little inside presence, which they don't have. And he can easily spread the floor and shoot the three and all of that.
He'd be perfect on that team. He would. He'd be
move
perfect.
The ball, the whole thing.
Yes. He's a team player. He fits right into that operation.
All right. So there's your Celtics reset. Also, rumors about Bradley Beal. Someone has to explain this one to me as well with the Celtics. We'll get right back to your phones after these words.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
He is rather moody, but I don't think he's going to change his mind on this one, boys. I think he's as good as gone. I think he's headed to Brooklyn. I'd be surprised if that doesn't happen. I know all these rumors now about him going to L.A. I just can't see in any way, shape, or form that he wants to play or does play with LeBron James again. He was part of that act once. He left that. He wants to be his own guy and play in a system in which really – I mean, again, the Celtics system, the Celtics, their scenario is ideal for Kyrie because he's had a chance to be the guy. It's his team, yet he's not happy there. So where the hell is he going to be happy at the end of the day? Nowhere. I say nowhere.
It's Jeff Goodman on this morning with TNR. You can hear the full replay at 98.5thesportshub.com or on the app. Kyrie Irving, good is gone. We knew that. I just thought it was an interesting way that Jeff Goodman put it. Going somewhere else to be happy, but where is he going to be happy? Answer, nowhere. Ever. Nowhere. That's the kind of guy that he is. All right, mixing in Celtics with our Bruins stuff, Red Sox, whatever you want. Back to you. Gino in Weymouth on Kyrie Irving. Go ahead, Gino.
Hey, guys. I think you're exaggerating the rebuild just a bit too much because I think when Kyrie leaves, this whole franchise is going to go back to where it should have been. Terry Rozier proved that he can be an all-star caliber point guard in those playoffs. And I think that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Gordon Hayward can form a tremendous trio that can really carry this squad for years to come because they are tremendously talented. Tatum and Brown have not even reached their full potential yet. And really, the squad has great things to come, especially with Al Horford really leading them. So that's what I think.
Okay, Wick, thanks. Gino, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a Gino they put up on the board during those rallies at the end of the game, for crying out loud.
I don't mean to mock the kid, honestly.
No, mock. That's ridiculous.
No. Well, but did we say rebuild?
No.
No, they're sort of
I believe I said the word rebuild.
Okay, they're definitely not rebuilding. I don't think they're rebuilding. They're sort of taking a short-term step back and going for the longer haul.
Renovating.
So whatever. Use whatever R word you want, Larry Lucchino. They're not rebuilding. And I think they're a good young team that if they let Al walk, we'll have flexibility. And I don't love your chances this year, but let's see what happens. And it's just going to take a little longer than you thought. And I don't think the future's dark for the Celtics by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it's just going to take longer.
I mean, I'm going to go, wee, it's bright. The future's bright. Wee, I can't wait for these draft picks like Gary Washburn the other day. I think that's sort of silly. I mean, you took a real hit this year. You took a body blow. In terms of what you wanted to do and how you wanted to build this team.
I just get an adverse reaction to anyone that has anything positive to say about Terry Rozier. He stinks. Have you watched these games? My God. Jesus.
So it can go the other way with the right mix, though. I don't think he's as bad as he played last year. He's not as bad as he played last year. I mean, the year before he was pretty good. So what's the reality? The reality is probably somewhere in the middle. Like, I don't think he's that bad. But the other thing that I had an issue with the caller is, do we know that Gordon Hayward, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum can coexist? Do we know that?
No, we don't.
Like, that's a big one still.
Okay, but they might. I mean, they still could.
I'm just saying that.
I'm not chalking that up as an automatic, no.
No, I look at that and say, I could still see those guys bitching over the ball.
Because, by the way, Kyrie or no Kyrie, there's still three guys for two spots there.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know how you want to look at that, but there's still some redundancy there. Someone's going to be taking minutes and shots away from someone. So that dynamic hasn't changed, those three. I think you're absolutely right to point out those three especially.
What's changed with them?
No, look, they all had an inflated sense of self last year.
And this whole dynamic of Hayward's getting minutes because he's a teacher's pet at the expense of Brown or someone else, has that gone away?
I don't think so. So again, now maybe Hayward comes back and is better than both those guys, in which case it's a no-brainer.
In which case it's a little more clearly defined, but is Jaylen Brown happy that he's on the bench?
I doubt it. So I wonder about that. I think those three guys still, that there's an issue there, and they got to figure that out.
Billy in Rhode Island on the Red Sox. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing? Maz, I got to compliment you, giving the Red Sox a compliment themselves.
He gave you one, Billy. He actually said that was a legit win, and you should feel good about it.
No, I got to man up. I know Maz says he doesn't think I like him. It isn't what I like everybody. It's just I don't like guys that just throw out negatives all the time.
Billy, I don't know what's more surprising, me actually giving the Red Sox credit or you giving me credit.
No, it's probably even. Let's call it even so we get along. But I want to ask you a question, Maz. What do you think the Yankees are going to do when these guys come back within a week or two and they've been hitting like crazy and now they're going to change their lineup again, Judge and Stanton back in there? I'll tell you, the team's been going great. I just want your opinion on what they're going to do when these other guys come back.
Are you implying somehow that they're going to be worse with Aaron Judge back in the lineup?
So I think that, you know, the one to me that is interesting is Stanton.
Stanton, yes, I agree. Right? That's why I said Judge.
Yeah, I mean, they all love Judge. Judge is going to make him a better team, and it feels like the players all know how good he is. And Stanton, who knows? So, but the fact is their lineup is absolutely ridiculous now.
How do you like the Encarnacion move?
So I was surprised by it. What do they need another bat for?
Aren't they hitting the crap out of the ball as it is, even with their, you know, this 4A team?
Yes. And so now it's ridiculous. Again, Gleyber Torres is going to hit ninth for him. He's got more homers than anybody in the Red Sox except J.D. Martinez.
Jesus.
I mean, it's insane, their lineup. And now they're in a position to trade Clint Frazier, whom they got in the Andrew Miller deal a couple of years ago. They can trade him for pitching at the deadline. So they get all types of flexibility to do things. That, you know, there's a chance that in the second half they're going to be loaded.
Ed in Woburn with the Bruins thought. Hi, Ed.
Hey, guys. I think one of the big things that is scary about this offseason for the Bruins is they're going to be very conscious that they're picking up guys that can help them beat Tampa Bay and the Capitals. I mean, they lost to the Blues in the Cup for sure, but to overlook, you know, those two teams and trying to find guys that can beat the Blues is probably not the long-term success that we need. You need guys that still have some skill, yes, some size, but definitely guys that still can play with Toronto and those guys.
Well, Ed, I think you're so right. When Don Sweeney says on the margins of Game 7, sort of implying we just lost by a hair in Game 7. If we bring back the same group, we can just play better and close that margin and we're champions, is really leaving out the part that, no, you actually have to be better next year because you're not going to get Columbus and Carolina in rounds 2 and 3 if you're lucky enough to get past Toronto again this year in a Game 7. So you have to be better next year. You can't be the same team. You have to be better.
I mean, is Toronto talking about the margins of Game 7 in the first round?
They probably are.
Right? Like, so I just think, again, They got to take it in the aggregate, and they got to look at it in the big picture and say, if we're going to win a cup, 4 playoff rounds, what types of teams are we going to see along the way, and how do we beat them? And right now, a big physical team that on D, they have trouble with.
They need to be better, not the same. Rocco and Saugus. Hi, Rocco.
Hey, listen, what's up with the Celtics? But Mike, listen, I'm here having lunch, about to have lunch in Southie Kid in West Broadway.
Attaboy.
If you ever want to meet me, come have lunch.
Okay,
man.
Let's get down on East Broadway.
Yeah, I'm working, man. I called about the Celtics. Listen, is Danny Ainge trying to do like a comparison to like the Splash Brothers? Because somebody had a call and say that, you know, Jason Tatum hasn't hit his potential. I believe he has. I believe if you keep Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're going to be just basically Latrell Sprewell and Allen Houston all over again. You know what I mean? I just don't really see a championship with those two guys leading your way. Huh. That's my take.
Wow. If they're Latrell Sprewell and who else did he say?
Allen Houston.
No, that's not. I'm looking for more than that.
No, it's not good enough. Again, so one of those guys is going to have to turn into a suit. I'm worried about Tatum now. He went backwards this year, and I'm worried about the whole Kobe influence and everything else. Like, if it's all about getting your shots, oh boy, they got to change that mindset or they're in trouble.
Well, let me ask you about this one. Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal reportedly could be a prime option for Boston in a potential trade, particularly if Kyrie Irving leaves in free agency, according to The Athletic's Jordan Brenner. Okay, Jordan Brenner says could be a prime option for the Celtics, Bradley Beal. The two-time All-Star has 2 years remaining on his five-year deal with the Wizards and is set to make $27 million next year, which if Al Horford walks away, you now have the room for. If the Wizards decide to blow it up this offseason, Beal is their most valuable trade chip, with John Wall still recovering from Achilles surgery, and the asset-rich Celtics could make them a tempting offer. What might that offer entail? Here's what Brenner says. One league source suggested that Washington would need to strongly consider an offer of Jason Tatum, Marcus Smart, and a protected pick for Beal, or that Boston could offer Smart, Jaylen Brown, and two future first-rounders as an alternative trade. So again, Tatum Smart and one first, or Brown Smart and two firsts for Bradley Beal?
No.
No, I wouldn't do either.
No!
No, too
That's
much.
That's way too much.
Yeah, too much. I don't want to do it giving up either Brown or Tatum.
I'm happy with Bradley Beal, a nice player.
Yeah, and maybe that's it. He's just a nice player.
Well, nothing where he more. Is, maybe. And I'll even grant that Brad Stevens in the system and whatever, the environment gets more out of him. Okay, so I'll say that I'll give you Brad Beal as a half step up from what he is right now.
No, he can shoot.
If I'm not trading Tatum, Brown, or these guys for Anthony Davis, I'm not doing it for Bradley Beal.
That's no way.
Too much.
No way.
Especially,
no.
There's other rumors floating around that the Pelicans are trying to flip the fourth pick overall for Bradley Beal. So if the Wizards are even considering that, that would be way too much of an overpay by the Celtics if that's what they're looking for there.
That's crazy town.
Yeah, no way. No. The kind of guys you'd move in there are, you know, picks plus Rozier and Smart.
Okay, so now we're talking.
But you're not talking, you know, I don't know whether you'd consider Hayward. Like, you know, depending.
Oh, I would.
Yes, I would.
Okay, so.
So I'd do that straight up. Why are the Wizards trading for the worst contract in basketball?
I don't think they are. But Brown and Tatum, I'm not moving. If I'm the Celtics, I don't see how you can do that now given where you are.
The whole idea right now is that you're resetting and reloading around those two young kids.
Exactly.
You're not. If you were going to trade up the mix and alter that mix, it was for a transcendent all-NBA top five guy in Anthony Davis, and you can justify it for Bradley Beal. Good player, but that doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes zero sense.
It should be like Smart, Robert Williams, and some of those useless picks.
Right? You could have the Time Lord. No problem. Or the kid with the T-shirt from Germany.
Tice.
You know, you could have one of those guys.
Like
no
Tice.
Problem. But now, wait! I'm not trading Tatum or Brown for Anthony Davis, but I am for Bradley Beal. That makes no sense.
The kid with the T-shirt from Germany is now the Celtics equivalent of the fat kid from Georgia.
Murray's updates right here, and then we're right back.
Sports Hub headlines.
Rick Porcello pitched 7 shutout innings, and the Red Sox stretched their winning streak to a season-high 6 straight games with their 2-0 over the Twins last night. Skipper Alex Cora after the game on the 6-game win streak.
Just playing good baseball. We still got to get better. Keep getting better. That's the most important thing. It's been good for 6 days now, and there's some strides, but we're not where we want to be yet.
Tonight, series continues in Minnesota. You got David Price on the mound for the Red Sox. Twins counter with Michael Pineda, first pitch, 8-10. In a statement from his wife, Tiffany Ortiz, Red Sox legend David Ortiz has officially had his status upgraded to good at Mass General Hospital, and he continues to make progress. Celtics' Al Horford declining his $30 million option for next season. He'll become an unrestricted free agent on June 30th. This is first reported by Adrian Wojnarowski, the NBA insider of ESPN. He's also reporting that there's motivation for both Horford and the Celtics to work towards an agreement on a new long-term deal. Sacramento Kings forward Harrison Barnes declining his $25 million player option. He's going to become an unrestricted free agent. And ahead of Thursday night's NBA draft, ESPN reporting the Knicks have declined a recent trade offer that would have sent the number 3 overall draft pick to the Atlanta Hawks in exchange for the 8th and 10th picks overall. Headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the Nines for happy hours from 3 to 6 and 8 to close Monday through Friday for $5 apps and great drink specials. The 99, always the real deal. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update at 4 o'clock.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The optimism of the Green Teamers, it continues to dumbfound me. You people, this reservoir of optimism after the beating you just took this year. Nothing phases these people.
No, they see the positive in everything.
Like zombies. You can't kill them. Like vampires. You can't kill the happy times of a Celtic fan. They're always looking on the bright side, always thinking the good times are right around the corner, constantly overvaluing their players. No matter what happens, you can't shake them.
No, I'm telling you, it proves the impact of a happy childhood.
You went into last year, again, just to reset quickly, you went into last year as the odds-on favorite that year to get out of the East, the odds-on favorite to land Anthony Davis in the future, and, at the very least, had Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward in your back pocket for the future. A year later, no Kyrie Irving, no Anthony Davis. You sucked last year, and now Gordon Hayward is not just a pillar for the future. He's the worst contract in basketball. A quadruple porking. Nothing that you projected worked. Nothing you projected panned out. Nothing. Not one thing. You weren't great last year in the short term. You didn't cash in on Anthony Davis in the long term. You don't have Kyrie Irving in your back pocket. And Gordon Hayward turns out to suck. But yet it's, I sort of like what Danny Ainge is doing here. It's unbelievable. Gary Washburn wrote last year. I mean, yesterday, I spent time on this yesterday. There should be excitement amongst the Celtics faithful about next season in the future, he writes. Oh, this should be an exciting time in Boston, he says. I mean, what? The Celtics have a chance to get younger and more athletic with their three first-round picks. So now we're going to get all horny and whip out our Johnson for the 14th, 20th, and 22nd pick in a draft that has two players? You people. Seriously, you people. I do get you people, but you amaze me. As also evidenced by Mason Souza, who's helping produce today, the true evil genius behind Adam Jones at night, the most negative guy in the building, worse than Jones, puts Maz and I to shame. Maz and I are minor league. We are the freaking Lowell Spinners. We are the Manchester Fisher Cats compared to Mason Souza and Adam Jones when it comes to negativity. We're small potatoes. Even Mason Souza with his nonsense. When it comes to the Celtics, so it's like, Mason Souza, in the next 3 years, he says the Lakers are back to a lottery team. The 76ers fall apart. The Celtics win a championship.
That's pretty good.
He's got Jason Tatum to be an all-star in a year or two and MVP of the league in the next four or five. Was that just yesterday, Souza, or do you still stand by that?
I stand by this the last, let me see, since game seven of the Eastern Conference Finals last year. He will be an MVP in the next 5 years.
The Cavs series you're talking about.
Correct.
Okay. And the Celtics, so the Lakers will, so you think the Celtics will win a championship before the Lakers do, and the Lakers are back to a lottery team in short order?
No, never said that. Never
well, you
said
just
that.
Wrote this. Hold on.
In the next 3 years.
In the next 3 years, Lakers are back to a lottery team.
Okay.
So, are they in the next 3 years?
3 years, yes. They gave up a lot of first-round picks. Who are they going to add after LeBron retires?
They're going to have the best young player in basketball for the next decade.
What did he win in New Orleans?
Were they
as the guy? Nothing.
Were they a lottery team? Like a lottery team?
They weren't good.
So you think the Lakers are going to be the Pelicans when LeBron retires?
Absolutely. Mark it down.
Yeah, mark it down.
Mason Souza doubled down today. He wrote in our email chain, listen to this, Maz. You want to talk about planet Deluja? The Time Lord Robert Williams, in short order, will be Defensive Player of the Year and a better asset to the Celtics than Anthony Davis will be to the Lakers. Did you hear that?
That's a bold statement.
The Time Lord will be a bigger asset to the Celtics than Anthony Davis will be to the Lakers. Are you okay, Mason?
If he can get to the arena on time.
Yeah, if he's not Time Lord all over again. But listen, notice how I said best asset. I didn't say better player. Anthony Davis, as we know, made of glass. He's not a winner. And he can't be trusted as a number one or a number two. He will be a better asset to the Celtics than Davis will be to the Lakers.
Mason, what one word answer. Where'd you grow up?
Taunton.
Here, Massachusetts.
Okay, all right.
I'm sorry if I just outed you.
Why?
Because I asked you this yesterday, too. Like, what planet are you from?
Seriously, though, yeah. Like, that's part of the reason I'm asking. Where did you get this, like, unbelievably rosy outlook?
It's the Celtics thing against any other thing.
This is like hearing the Mike Gorman clip, so I wouldn't want to trade Tyler Zeller.
No, but I'm telling
Sellinger's a hell of a player.
This is how people treat the Celtics different than any other team in town.
I don't get it.
Mason Souza, like Adam Jones, like us, frankly, will spend 5 hours a night ripping the New England Patriots, who have won 3 out of 4 and are the greatest team sport in the history of team sports. The greatest team in the history of team sports. And they'll spend 5 hours ripping them a night. But the Celtics, who just got pantsed, who just got hosed over the last 9 months, and really the whole thing has sort of fallen apart to an extent, when it comes to this? Whee! I like what Danny's doing.
Oh, yeah. No, no. Mason's playing in the parade in 2022.
Listen to this. Listen to this.
Keep reading. Yep.
He actually wrote this. If Robert Williams, the same guy, Rob Williams, the Time Lord, takes advantage of this opportunity and he's given consistent minutes on a nightly basis, there is no doubt in my mind he will be equivalent to Rudy Gobert, who is on his way to becoming back-to-back Defensive Player of the Year. If Williams finds longevity, he will be Dikembe Mutombo 2.0.
Oh, my God. You've got to be kidding me.
And finally, may God have mercy on the rest of the league. If he develops a jump shot and drives to the rim, in 10 years, we might be watching the next Hakeem Olajuwon.
Wow. That's a lot of ifs. And that is, that's not a comp you want to really throw around there all that much.
Taunton? Is it Taunton? You said you're from Mason?
Dude, there was a seven-game stretch last season.
Oh, my God. He's serious.
The most you skipped over this, so I will tell you. There was a seven-game stretch where Rob Williams only played 14 minutes, 2.7 blocks a night. In comparison, the blocks leader last season, Miles Turner, also had 2.7. How many minutes? Double that. 28. If Robert Williams takes advantage of this and isn't Time Lord, gets 20 minutes a night, he will be Defensive Player of the Year next season.
Are you serious?
Do we drug test at the station?
I wonder if they drug test in Taunton. Like, what the hell's going on in that town?
They test you, and if you're not on drugs, they sort of ring you up.
Oh, that's how it works. Yeah, yeah, if you pass the drug test, you don't graduate.
No, they think something's wrong with you. Seriously, what's the matter with you, Taunton? What's the matter with you?
Oh. Defensive Player of the Year next year. Mason, you can't just take the minutes and double them and double all the stats.
Doesn't work that way because...
It doesn't work that way, is right.
Because well, Oh, go ahead.
You know, if you double Wanamaker's minutes, I bet you his numbers will look pretty good at the end of the day, too.
Exactly.
No, I don't think so. No. You can... No. I told you, the most consistent stretch, seven games, and... Do you remember what he did to Anthony Davis when they met in December?
What did they do?
No.
Pants off, blocked him. What, fade away from the foul line? I watched these highlights today because I was ready for this. Pants off. Robert Williams is nasty. He owned Anthony Davis last year. He'll do it again when he faces the Lakers this upcoming season.
When you work with Jones, do you give him this stuff?
I think it's just for you guys.
Yeah, he won't allow it.
Jones would not allow this.
This mic is off.
Jones would fire you.
I got to tell you, Jones, you got to get on this kid. Are you with him every night?
A couple nights a week.
Okay, not enough. Jones, you have a project here. You got to get back to me. You got to get to Souza, who is a diabolical prick and the most negative guy in the building. But this proves my point. When it comes to the Celtics, people lose their minds. It's like they're just always on the bright side. Now all of a sudden, Robert Williams is... He's Rudy Gobert, the Defensive Player of the Year, but if he develops a jump shot, Murray, or an outside game, he's Hakeem Olajuwon. This is what the Green Teamers do.
I think Jones is going to tighten up his leash on his staff. He's a little too loose there, Andy.
No question, Jones. It's time to button it up there at night a little bit. Getting a little too loose. Little too loose. But the point about Jason Tatum, MVP within 5 years. Was his growth stunted this year? Let's hit on that thing with your calls right after this in our long commercial-free segment.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger Nass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
I think the friendship was fine off the court, but I think ultimately Tatum and other players understood that Kyrie still, again, wanted to be the guy. And especially with Tatum, yeah, he wanted, it was a similar situation as LeBron and Kyrie, right? LeBron needed Kyrie, but he didn't want him to spread his wings all the way. And that was the case with Kyrie, with Tatum, is Jason Tatum, to me, his growth was stunted this past season, largely because of Kyrie. And, you know, Kyrie's a guy, he's not a guy who's going to go up and down the court and play the system and the style that Brad Stevens ideally wants to play, right? The style that really had everybody fall in love with this team a year and a half ago in the playoffs when they were really running in transition. Jaylen Brown looked terrific, Terry Rozier looked great, and obviously Tatum looked terrific as well. Kyrie would rather play in the half court. That's not the way that Brad prefers to play.
Jeff Goodman again on this one with TNR. 98.5thesportshub.com with the app for the full replay. Jeff Goodman says Tatum was stunted by Kyrie Irving. Question for you before we go back to the phones. Was Jason Tatum stunted by Kyrie Irving, or was Jason Tatum stunted by Jason Tatum?
Jason Tatum.
Yeah, the latter.
Yeah, it was the second thing.
Hold on. Souza, who was Jason Tatum stunted by?
It was Kyrie's fault.
Thank you very much. Go ahead.
So I think it's all about Tatum. I think that Tatum started to get a bigger idea of what he was at this stage of his career. And, you know, he tried, his head move faster than his body and really than it should have. So I think it's all related to Tatum. I think young players have problems with, you know, accepting the fact that the process takes time. And they want to be superstars right away, particularly ones that are high picks. And so he wanted his shots, and, you know, that was a problem. And I think at that age, you have to defer. That's just the way it is.
How many times throughout the season did you see that stupid fadeaway jumper that wouldn't drop? How many times? That's Kyrie Irving's fault? Now, that you want to say that's Kobe Bryant's fault for his influence on Tatum? Okay, we can have that conversation, but that's more on Tatum than anything else. It has nothing to do with Kyrie Irving.
Jason Tatum averaged 10 shots a game as a rookie. He averaged 13 shots a game last year. His shots went up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, maybe there was a quality of a shot thing or the flow of the offense. It's different with Kyrie Irving out there, no question about it. But it's not like his minutes went up and his shots went up. So what are we talking about here? How was he stunted by Kyrie Irving?
Well, so his efficiency and his effectiveness went down.
Okay. All right, fine.
Right. So,
his efficiency went down. That was Kyrie Irving's fault?
No, that's Tatum's fault. Like this idea, like, you know, all of a sudden now everything goes back to Kyrie and Kyrie was the problem for everything. I don't buy this. Now, what I would tell you is that you say, okay, what I thought you were going to say is, well, his shots went up, his minutes went up. So he did get an expanded role this year. And I'd tell you that, yeah, by 30%, he wanted it to double.
So, you know, per 100 possessions, he went from 22 points a game to 24. So call it 23 points a game to 24. Per 36 minutes, he went from 16.5 points a game to 18.2 points per game.
What were his shooting percentages?
Shooting percentages per 36 went from, at the 3, 43 to 37, went down, and from 47, in the floor in general, 47.5 to 45.
So to me, that's where he got less effective. He took more shots, but they went in less frequently.
His field goal percentages, both 2 and 3s, went down.
So that's what I say. And this, I think, relates to Murray's point of bad shots. Now, look, I don't know if he's going to shoot 43% from three his whole career. That number his rookie year was eye-popping. No, nobody expected it to be that high. But I would say that, again, if you know, growth is not a straight line, right? Or it's not a standard slope the whole way up. So you're going to have ups and downs, and let's hope it was just a down year. He took more bad shots, and he was more selfish this year.
Okay, back to your phones. As promised, Rob in the car, that Bradley Beal thing we were talking about. How do you feel about it?
I think you guys are crazy to think that Jaylen Brown and a couple picks with Marcus Smart for Bradley Beal would be a bad deal. If you look at Bradley Beal's career, he's a better shooter than Jaylen Brown. His defense is at least at par. Souza, I think you're out of your mind with your Robert Williams take. He's Fab Mello 2.0. If you look, there was a 7-game stretch where everyone thought Jeremy Lin was the next great point guard in the NBA.
Good job.
So, I mean, we can take 7 games and call it what we want to call
okay, it. Okay, but Rob, Sousa's point is delusional. We're going to drug test him overnight. But the first thing about Bradley Beal, I'm hoping if I'm the Celtics, that Jaylen Brown evolves to beyond Bradley Beal.
Correct.
That's the whole point of not trading him for Anthony Davis.
Right.
So that, like, to me, that's
now
just...
Now we're aiming for Bradley Beal when we were talking about Kawhi Leonard a year ago?
Exactly. This is the whole point. If you're not going to trade him for Kawhi Leonard or Anthony Davis, you're going to trade him for Bradley Beal? No. You're holding on to him because you think... Well, the Anthony Davis thing was, you know, certainly... Davis didn't want to be here. But the whole point is, if you're now going to reset with these guys. Don't trade him for something lesser than you want them to be. You want Jaylen Brown to be better than Bradley Beal.
No question.
And maybe he won't be, but... I think he has a chance to, and I think that has to be the plan now. Derek in Foxborough, you want Al Horford on this team or not?
Yeah, I think they need to keep Al Horford. He's an intangible piece. You talk about, you know, you need to create cap space. Cap space doesn't matter when nobody wants to sign here. And it's obvious none of the top players want to sign here. And real quick on the Tatum thing, I think Kyrie did stunt his growth because there was a game against the Nets this year where Kyrie was taking one of his 50 maintenance days. Tatum had a career-high 35 points in that game. So he can do it if he's the number one option.
Okay. I mean, certainly that stuff will go up because someone has to take the shots. So, I mean, that I can see. But will the efficiency any better? Will it be any more of a all-around ball player, you know, I don't know. I just think that's, boy, is that letting Jason Tatum off the hook by blaming Kyrie?
Oh, it's totally letting him off the hook. And again, like the 35 points, I don't care about the 35 points. I care about how the whole machine works. That's what I care about. People make this mistake all the time. Oh, you got to go get this guy. He averages 32 points a game. Well, yeah, because he takes 40 shots. Like, anybody can average 32 if they take 40 shots. So the question is, do you play as a team and do you win? Are you a winning player? Can you rebound? Can you play defense? Can you affect the games in other ways? So, like, I like Tatum as a player. I think Jaylen Brown passed him this past year. Now Brown is in the league, a year longer. So let's see again what it looks like. But if you're asking me today, who would I rather have? I'd rather have Jaylen Brown. A year ago, it was Tatum.
Okay, that first thing about... why do we want, and we do, we want Al Horford to walk. I think it's better for the Celtics if Al Horford walks. And if he walks and you can trim one more salary, you have damn near a max slot here. But what good is the max slot if no one wants to come here? It's a fair question to ask.
Sure.
And, you know, so when we say no one wants to come here, that's obviously, that's an exaggeration for effect. No one on that elite tier wants to come here. I'll say that. You know, the top five, six, seven players in the game, they obviously don't want to be here. But the Al Horford, Gordon Hayward, that next level, you can play in that pool. And I don't know, maybe you say that that's not good enough, Maz, and you don't want that guy anyway, but I don't know. I think that's the pool they have to deal with and they have to accept and hope that the pieces come together and that is good enough.
Okay, so I have no problem dealing in that pool right now, if that's what it is. Again, let's say it's a $25 million player instead of a $35 million player, okay? But if I can have Horford or someone reasonably close who's 26, I'll take the 26.
Right, yes.
Because Al Horford is not going to be a significant part of this in 2 years, which is really what you're looking at now.
I'm curious why he would want to stay.
Just, I don't think he does.
Just to babysit? Dude, you can go win a ring. I mean, he'd be such a great piece on any of these contending teams. We mentioned it before. Great piece on the Warriors. Great piece to play next to LeBron and Kyrie, Freudian slip. LeBron and Anthony Davis with the late, because he can do so many different things. Even if that team is set at that position, quote unquote, he can play the four, he can spread the floor, he can pass, screen, all the things that we know that he does. And he's going to accept his role. I'd love him on the Bucks. He can go get a ring.
And he might be able to get the best of both worlds. He might be able to get his money, too, because Durant might not be on the market. Again, we'll know all this by the end of the day, right? I mean, Durant has to decide whether to opt in or out.
Oh, is that right? That happens today?
I think today's the deadline for all those guys.
Ooh.
I think today's... That's why
we got the Barnes news already.
Right, so have your finger on that button there, Billy.
And that's why the Horford news came out.
Why did I think that was particular to him? That's everybody, huh?
No, I think it's everybody on the 18th. I think everyone has to decide today. I might have that wrong, so double check it. But I think... So we'll know.
Murray, Google that.
So if some of those guys decide to stay, then there are going to be fewer players on the market. And if Horford's now on it, which he is... Well, then there's going to be somebody that has a lot of money to spend that's willing to give it to Al Horford, even if it's on a two-year deal. He might be able to get the same money over 2 years that he was going to get over four.
I think both he and you are better served by him walking.
No question.
Love you, mean it. Vaya con Dios, man. Seriously, a lot of respect for Al Horford. I think they're better off without him. I think he's better off without them. Murray's update takes 90 quick seconds. We're right back. Your thoughts, Celtics, Red Sox, a little bit of Bruins to start the show, whatever you want. Right back to you after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.